Solana Biff here on 560 WQM. We take you for one more hour. It's been 3 hours already, Biff.
Can't believe it. It feels like we've only been here for 30 minutes.
Really has gone by fast, though, right?
It has. No, it's definitely different when you're like on the other side of the glass, you know, kind of doing the show. It does feel faster.
3 years now, or excuse me, a little over a year, right? You've been working at QAM?
About a year and 4 months almost, yeah.
Yeah, a little over a year.
Started last August.
Today's your first show.
It is.
Man. Nice. It's exciting, man. Look at that. The producers getting their shot. The producers.
It shows you can start from the bottom and move up.
The producers getting their shot here at 560 WQAM. Again, Solana and Biff here. We haven't even given out our Twitter handles. You're at MattW560, right?
Yes, sir.
MattW at 560. I'm Alex M. Solana on Twitter. You can follow us both there. Last segment, we were talking about Nick Saban. Of course, today is the 12-year anniversary of him saying, I'm not going to Alabama. I'm staying here. I'm staying in Miami, the Miami Dolphins head coach, and we all know how that worked out. But before we get back to that, because I had asked Matt a question, you know, what's more impressive to you? What stands out more to you? Alabama's run behind Nick Saban or the Patriots run behind Bill Belichick? But before we get to that, really quickly, earlier in the show, we were talking about LeBron James and him kind of being accused of tampering, trying to lure Anthony Davis over to LA through the media. And we kind of came to the conclusion that at the end of the day, he's just answering a question. And like, who doesn't want Anthony Davis? Well, a couple minutes ago, Tim Reynolds on Twitter, he of course covers Miami sports for the AP. He tweeted, because everyone else is tweeting about LeBron and Anthony Davis today, here's my column. It's not tampering. You're all overreacting. In caps, everybody wants to play with Anthony Davis. The end. Yep. Basically, he must have been listening to our segment.
Oh, 100%. That's exactly what he was doing. He was listening and he's like, all right, I need to educate these guys a little bit.
Matt, I think he stole your take.
Yeah, oh yeah. Tim Reynolds, you stole my take.
I think he stole your take.
It's all right. Tim, you can have it. It's all right.
So who impresses you more, Matt? Is it Bill Belichick and the dynasty, the NFL dynasty he's built with Tom Brady and the Patriots, or is it Nick Saban in Alabama?
Has to be Nick Saban in Alabama, because we were even talking about this a little bit off air. I mean, the turnover is ridiculous in college football. You have 3 to 4 years with the guy, and if they redshirt, you may only have 2 years with the guy. They just have to get through 3 years of college.
Which is actually usually the case at Alabama. Like, all the players who are really good, who are going to be in the NFL, they're there for as short amount of time as possible. Like,
yeah,
they're not sticking around for their senior season. If they redshirt, they're gone after their junior year.
They need to go out there and get their money. Plus, in college football too, the NFL, you know, if you're in the NFL, you're going to be a good player. You've already been proven that you're going to be a good player. You're watching these kids, and like, Nick Saban has to go out there. Not only is he coaching this team, he's also going out there finding recruits, has to sit there, watch film on these recruits, look through all of them and see. And, you know, there's players out there who are 5 stars, going to be the greatest players ever, and all of a sudden, they are never playing it down in college football. And a lot of the guys he's recruiting are these 5-star players who, yeah, they have the raw athletic ability, but you have to be able to develop that and to make it a good player. Because you see guys all the time who are out there, these 5 stars who maybe run like 4.3s, 4.2s, don't do anything. And, you know, they're a physical specimen. He finds those guys and makes them. And he, even if it's 5 stars, even to like a 3-star guy, I don't know where he finds.
Right, but isn't there also something to be said? And nothing you said there is wrong, by the way. I don't disagree with anything you just said. What Nick Saban does, year in, year out, recruiting always the top classes for, you know, sustaining that for so long is incredible. It's remarkable. But isn't there something to be said at doing it at the highest level? Right? Like, yes, you can make the argument that Bill Belichick lucked out with Tom Brady. But first of all, that was his guy. It's not like he ended up on the Patriots and Tom Brady. No, like he wanted Tom Brady. Or he didn't want Tom Brady. Maybe he didn't foresee Tom Brady being what Tom Brady is now. but he chose to start Tom Brady at some point or another.
Well, kind of the interesting thing with that is you have to remember how kind of Tom Brady got his gig.
Right, there was an injury. Bledsoe got hurt. But again, Tom Brady was still on that team. It's not like, you know, he lucked into Tom Brady. He played him. Like, he deserves credit for Tom Brady being what Tom Brady is. I'm not taking any credit away from Tom Brady because
Tom Brady is a great player, but, I mean, realistically, look, who knows if Tom Brady really plays?
I think the better argument would be if Tom Brady wasn't on the Patriots, would he be the player that he
would
is
Would Belichick
now?
Even be the coach he is? Would he be able to,
right,
would he be
right.
able to take
that's,
that?
That's why I think it's not, you know, Bill Belichick is just this amazing coach and Tom Brady needed Bill Belichick. No, I think Tom Brady clearly has some unbelievable talent and he would have been great anywhere he went, but probably not to the level that he is now. And the same goes for Bill Belichick. But when you're talking or comparing Belichick and Saban, who impresses me more? I mean, you're winning at the highest level of a professional sport, okay? And you're doing it and sustaining it for so long in a league that we know. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They won the Super Bowl last year, and this year, they're just like, they're okay. I mean, you look at teams across the league. How many teams in the NFL over almost two decades can sustain what the Patriots have done with different players every year? Other than the quarterback, with different players every year, finding guys who nobody else wants. Wes Welker, a perfect example.
Yeah, he's not finding the superstars. I mean, last year he had Brandon Cooks, who's one of the best receivers in the NFL. He didn't even use him. He didn't care about him. I mean, they developed kind of Gronk was a second-round pick, I believe, right? And, I mean, he was good, but they made him who he was. Even when they had, I guess, rest in peace, Aaron Hernandez, you know, it's just kind of like, I mean, he was really good. I mean, they made the shovel pass like a thing, and they ran an amazing offense. The only receiver they really had who was a high-profile, really good receiver was Randy Moss when they got him, and that was a super record year for Tom Brady. That was a record year, and like they almost broke the Dolphins' record that year.
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We asked you, tell us who you find is impressing you more. Somebody said, get out of here. Dynasty of the Patriots, hands down. It's harder to remain relevant year to year in the NFL. Any team can be on top from one year to the next. College, it's easier to sustain. I mean, here's the thing with that. It's easier to sustain now because, and only because, Nick Saban has built up that Alabama brand. Nick Saban, and I'm telling you right now, I've been in a room with Nick Saban. Never spoke to him, okay? But I was at the Senior Bowl. Was it the Senior Bowl? Yeah, I was at the Senior Bowl in Alabama this past year. This year in 2018. Elevator opens up. Tannenbaum and Greer had just finished their press conference in like a little lobby of the stadium. All Omar Kelly, Adam Beasley, all the Dolphins writers are there. They had just finished up. Tannenbaum's, you know, he's talking to some of the beat writers off the record, whatever. And opens up an elevator opens up. Two police marshals walk out. A guy, short guy, in a bright red suit walks out. Two marshals behind him walks out as well. So four marshals walking alongside Nick Saban. The entire room, Tannenbaum, Greer in that room. So, you know, two high-level NFL executives. The entire room goes still. Everybody turns around. And it's like he didn't even say a word. Nobody said a word. The entire room goes quiet because Nick Saban's walking through the room. So he's built that brand. He's built the fact that he's Nick Saban. The fact that Alabama runs college football now. He walks into any high school. I mean,
he doesn't just walk in any high school. He flies his helicopter into any high school.
Right. Like he is the bleeping man when it comes to high school football athletes wanting to take their talents to the next level. He's built that brand. So, yes, is it easier now for Nick Saban to sustain recruiting? Just recruiting. Yes, you could argue yes, because he's built that brand.
Yeah,
so you have to credit him. You have to credit him. But to the Texas point, and I agree with him, Belichick isn't just coaching. I mean, he's essentially the GM of that team as well. He's drafting players. He's picking the guys to put alongside Tom Brady. I mean, to sustain and not just be good, not just make the playoffs year in and year out, because you could look at teams like even the Saints. They had one or two years after what was that called? Bounty Gate?
Yeah.
Am I getting that right?
Greg Williams.
Right. Like, they had 1 or 2 years there. Their coach was suspended for a year, or things were down. But, I mean, since Drew Brees went there, what, they won the Super Bowl in, what was that, 2009, 2010? I mean, they've consistently been a good to above-average team, a playoff team. Behind Drew Brees, you can look at the Packers with Brett Favre. Like, they've consistently been good teams, playoff teams. What the Dolphins used to be with Marino. Mm-hmm. Consistent playoff teams, even a little bit after Marino. But there's a difference between being good playoff teams consistently like that and being what the Patriots have done, which is they're going to the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game, and they're going to win the AFC East, hands down, no questions asked, every single year, and they've done it for 16 years.
Usually when you go into the AFC conversation, AFC East conversation at the beginning of the year, oh, do the Dolphins, Bills, or Jets have a chance of being a wild card? Nobody looks at them. Nobody even bothers to say, do these teams have a chance of winning? The last time one of those teams won the division was when Matt Castle was their quarterback because Brady went down like the first game of the
season. It was the Wildcat year, 2008, when the Dolphins won. And yeah, because they went 11-5, and the Patriots went 11-5 that year as well. So you're looking back, the last time, other than 2008, that any team won that division, the AFC East, was in 2002 when the New York Jets did it. So since 2000, the Patriots, in 18 years, wrap your head around this because they're going to win it again this year, have only not won the AFC East 2 times. So 16 out of 18 years, they've won the AFC East title. It's incredible. And that's why I choose Bill Belichick. If I have to choose who's impressed me more, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, it's Bill Belichick. You don't want to counter that? Did I just win that argument?
No, I was just reading a text message. It was really funny. It's not too far of a stretch to say that by being in his presence, he made Solana what he is today.
It was weird, man. Like, I'm being serious. It was weird because, and I made eye contact with him, and I just felt like my soul just
oh, he may have stole your soul.
Yeah, like it disappeared. I don't have a soul anymore. Like Nick Saban looked right at me. It was so weird. Like I'm looking at, you know, Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Greer. These are again high level executives in the Dolphins organization. These are the guys making the decisions for this team. You know, they're guys that demand respect when they're in a room. You know, you have Omar Kelly, all these guys talking. Nick Saban, everybody kind of turned around, was like, oh, bleep, that's Nick Saban. It was crazy. It really was one of those moments where you're like, wow. And I don't know why. Like, I don't even like Nick Saban. I don't want to be around Nick Saban.
And that's kind of why I also look at Nick Saban as why he's built the better thing. Nick Saban made Alabama a brand. New England, they're a really good team. I don't know if I'd call them a brand. I don't know.
Maybe Alabama?
Like, Alabama is a brand. Alabama out there, you look at it and you're just like,
oh, you're saying you wouldn't call the Patriots a brand?
Yeah, maybe in like the Northeast and like Boston for sure they are.
Right, but haven't they set the bar in terms of what an NFL organization wants to be? They've set the bar. You can't show me in the history of the NFL.
But if you're thinking NFL, are you thinking first thing Patriots, or are you still thinking first thing Cowboys or some team like that?
I mean, it just depends when you grew up. It just depends when you grew up. Like, yeah, the Cowboys dominated for an era. The Steelers dominated for an era. The Packers dominated for an era. But have they been dominating as long as the Patriots have in the past, what, 2 decades? Like, I don't think they have with the same people. With the same 2 guys leading that front, have they? I mean, maybe. I could be wrong here. I'm not an NFL historian. I'm not claiming to be an NFL historian. I just look at what the Patriots have done. 16 out of 18 years, they've won the AFC East. And in every single one of those years, those 16 years, they either got to the Super Bowl or almost got to the Super Bowl. Right? Like, it's crazy to me.
I mean, and you have to look at it with Saban and stuff. I mean, they're doing the same thing. They're going in there and they're really dark. They're sitting in the top 10 every time. They're sitting there. And I mean, heck, they honestly, even if Alabama would have lost this year in the SEC championship game somehow, they would have still been the playoffs and still would have been the favorites to win it all. I mean, last year, as you said, they brought in a backup quarterback halfway through the game and they won the national championship against a very, very good Georgia team.
So crazy to me. Like, just saying that. And then this year, in what was it? The It was against Georgia, right?
Yeah, it was in the SEC
title game.
Yeah, they
it's
brought
the reverse.
They did the reverse.
This freaking Nick Saban, man.
Miami Hurricanes football and basketball on WQAM is sponsored by Centene. Better is taking charge of my health and better from Sunshine Health on your home of the Florida Hurricanes, AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. And we're going to go in this segment talking some Dolphins, right? And I think you have an injury report for us, don't you?
Yeah, of course, Matt. It is the UHealth Sports Medicine Dolphins injury list. Pretty interesting here. Jacksonville's injury list, like a quarter of the size of Miami's injury list here. I have the injury report in front of me. Kiko Alonso was limited today in practice. He's questionable for tomorrow, but I did see Armando Salguero tweet that he's going to play. So no issue there for Kiko Alonso. Danny Amendola, Cornell Armstrong, Kalen Ballage, Kenny and Drake all had full participation today in practice. Ziggy Hood, defensive tackle, and Xavien Howard were limited today. So was Ryan Tannehill and Travis Swanson. Devontae Parker practiced. He was a full participant in practice. And I'm sorry, I said Travis Swanson was limited. I apologize. He was actually a full participant. Laremy Tunsil was limited today. The UHealth Sports Medicine Dolphins injury list is brought to you by UHealth Sports Medicine, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundational Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Xavien Howard playing would be good for the Dolphins, right? Like, I think everybody unanimously can agree.
And anybody
X being out there would be good.
Anybody on that list, for sure, Xavien Howard is the one person they want out there. I mean, he is the X factor on their defense.
Well, Ryan Tannehill, probably more so than anybody. But yeah, X, other than Tannehill, is definitely the guy you want to see out there.
I feel like Ryan Tannehill, though, he's like one of those guys who's just always on the injury report, just kind of like, they almost like forget to like erase his name on there.
He's become that guy, right? Like it sucks, man, because again, I don't want to do the Tannehill debate. I'm sick of the Tannehill debate, but it does suck that not only is he just not a guy you can really be inspired by, but he's come down with injury issues now, the shoulder, the knee, going back to 2 years ago or last year. And it sucks because at least if you're going to have a guy who is borderline average, right? He's not really great. He's not bad. He's just right in the middle, just like the Dolphins. You want him to be healthy, at least, right? Like, you want him to be healthy, but he's not anymore. He's officially turned into the guy who takes a beating every game, and you can't really rely on his health.
I mean, you saw last game, he was sacked 9 times. I mean, no quarterback has been hit as much as Ryan Tannehill has. It's brutal, and you know, with injury issues and stuff like that, I mean, even if he is turning a corner, he's not going to have that much of a lifespan. Honestly, he may have the lifespan of a running back at this point. I mean, his knees hurt, his ankles hurt right now, and I know, as being a Steeler fan, my quarterback is literally basically injured every game. It's not really the one thing you want to have as a quarterback. You don't want to have your quarterback having an injury, a nagging injury, especially for Ryan Tannehill, who's supposed to be a mobile quarterback. A leg injury is not a good thing for him.
It is good, though, you know, the Dolphins are hosting the Jaguars, the final home game of the season. It is a good feeling to know that you're going to have the best quarterback on the field, right? Like, it doesn't matter really even who starts for the Dolphins.
Oh, wouldn't matter if it was for the Jaguars even, Blake Bortles or him?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't even matter who the Jaguars trot out there. Go ahead, you know, trot out whoever you want. We're still going to have the better option at the quarterback position, which is almost never the case for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, what the bleep happened to Jacksonville? They were so good last year. Like, they really were, though. And I didn't think it would be a fluke. I didn't think that defense and even that offense was, you know, fluky. I didn't think that they were up there just because every team can have one good year. Every team can have one good year. It's consistency that really stands out. I thought the Jags, I'm not saying I thought they'd be Super Bowl contenders for another decade, but I really thought they had built something where three, 4 years down the line, we'd look back and say, hey, that team was really good. But clearly not. Like they're not what we thought they were.
All right, Danny Green, another RIP. We've done a lot of RIPs today. I've realized that.
Wait, who else? Who?
Danny Green. They are who we thought they were. And but the problem with Jacksonville is they've been plagued with injuries too. And the Dolphins have been plagued with injuries. They've been plagued with bigger injuries. AJ Bouye was out for a long time this year. One of their best cornerbacks on their side. Leonard Fournette. We have to remember Leonard Fournette was out for a good chunk of time. I know because every time I was facing him in fantasy, I was really hoping that it would just be, oh, maybe next week he'll come back.
You changed Dennis Green, the late Dennis Green, the late great Dennis Green, into Danny Green, the shooting guard for the Toronto Raptors, which is why I was like, wait, what are you talking about? Danny Green is no longer with us? You killed off Danny Green.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were.
Oh, I feel bad now. Sorry, Danny Green. I still love you. I do like him. I kind of wish, He was on the Spurs, right? He was the guy who killed the Heat with the Spurs.
Yeah, I think he hit like an NBA Finals record for threes in a single game. That he ended up winning that series anyways. Man, talk about just frustrating watching Patty Mills and Danny Green just nail daggers.
When you have Patty Mills, it's almost like J.J. Barea beating your team.
Yeah, well, LeBron James can't back down J.J. Barea. But
I wonder if they'd be better quarterbacks than anybody that the Jaguars have. You think Danny Green could be a better quarterback than Blake Bortles or Cody Kessler?
I think you can be a better quarterback.
Varsity quarterback starter at one point at my high school. Just saying, man.
You love throwing that out there, like if it means anything. Like what? So what? You're a better quarterback than me. Like, yeah. Okay.
Hey, I brought my team 2 wins that year. I went to a school that should never have won a game, and we won 2 games that year.
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Are you expecting the Dolphins to win their last 2 games? Like, genuinely expecting them to win the last 2 games?
Yeah, I mean, I think both games are really winnable. I mean,
they're the better team in both. In both matchups, they're the better team. Maybe not by much, but they are the better team.
As long as they don't have that scare that they did last time when Buffalo played them down here. They should be good. I mean, Buffalo realistically should have won that last game against the Dolphins. It was just unfortunate. Former Dolphin, Charles Clay, was just not able to pull himself close enough to the ball to be able to catch it. But the Dolphins are better than both teams. The Bills, I think personally right now, Josh Allen is playing way better than he should be. And I think he's going to have a hard time later on. And he is going to eventually he's going to peak and then he's going to fall down. And I think against the Dolphins, and especially in the snow when they're going to be playing in Buffalo, I think it's going to be a little bit harder for him to be able to play against the Dolphins, and Xavier Howard maybe back that game. And he's not going to be able to throw. He's not going to be able to run as easy in the snow. And the Jaguars are just a beaten up team. I think the Dolphins, if they could establish the running game and not have to rely on big plays, they could do it. But I could also see him losing in both games, because if they play like they did against Minnesota, I think a high school football team could go out there and put up some points against them.
That's exactly. Watching Milwaukee and Boston, Kyrie just got swatted, man. Like swatted by Antetokounmpo. That's where the Dolphins are. Exactly what you just said is where the Dolphins have been.
Well,
it's a perfect summation of where the Dolphins have been for about 15, 16 years.
Look at the last game. I mean, when they had, what were their 2 touchdowns? A huge run by Ballage and an interception return for a touchdown. You can't rely on that to win you a game.
Well, no, what I meant was when you said, you basically said they're the better team, they should win, but you wouldn't be surprised if they lost. Like, that's where the Dolphins are and have been for so long. Like, yeah, they're probably, one of the better teams. They're probably the better team going into this matchup. But, if they lose to the Bills that are going to kick them out of the playoff run, you wouldn't be surprised. Like, you never are extremely confident going into games. And that's why we were talking about how weird this season was, Matt. And I don't want to call you Matt. I want to call you Biff. Are you running with that, by the way? Like, the whole Biff thing? Like
changed it to the Biff.
You're the Biff. But like, are you running with that now? Like, you're just gonna be Biff?
I don't know. I kind of like it depends. Some call me Matt. Some call me Biff. Right. I don't know anymore. I'm kind of like in like
okay, but like for example, my name is Alejandro Solana or Alex. People call me Alex, right? But I don't want anybody to call me Alex on the radio. I want to be Solana. Why? Because there's a million Alexes, yeah, not many Solanas. I don't know if you want to be called Matt or Biff. Like, are you running with Biff? I'm trying to build your brand here, man.
I know. I'm trying to figure out my brand. I have a marketing campaign that's going on still, and they're trying to figure out everything. You know?
This is like a crucial decision for you. Oh, are you going to be Matt or are you going to be Biff from here on out?
Oh, it's going to be it's going to change my life potentially. I may have to go on and have to be like, oh, it's the Biff, and it's just like they're like, who? And then I'd say, oh, I'm Matt Wilson somewhere. They'll have no idea who I am.
We were talking about earlier how crazy of a Dolphins season this has been. They're at the bottom of basically every statistical category they could be. They're still 9-7. They've lost everybody. Like, half the team is playing on crutches. And they still have a chance to go 9-7. And to me, it just continues to show how crazy this season has been. They beat a team like Chicago. Or even those wins, all their wins, you leave the win other than the miracle of Miami. Every single win from the Dolphins this season, you don't leave that game confident. You don't. Like, I remember they beat the Jets a couple weeks ago at home. And that Monday press conference by Gase was just depressing. Our shows after that on Monday, nobody was like ecstatic that the Dolphins beat the Jets. It was just like, yeah. They beat the Jets, but we know what's coming. We all know what's coming, and it's the Dolphins going 8-8, and missing the playoffs again. And we all had foresight of what was coming in that Vikings game. And it doesn't have to be the Vikings; it could be any opponent. Every year, you have a chance to control your chances at making a playoff run. You're in the driver's seat. Just beat Minnesota. Just beat that one team, and you poop your pants.
My boots in the Georgia mud, gonna watch you make me WQAM fall in love. Invites you to join our sister station, KISS 99, KISS Country, at the 34th Annual Chili Cook-Off, powered by Ford, coming January 26th at C.B. Smith Park in Pembroke Pines. Headliners include Brooks and Dunn, Luke Combs, Rodney Atkins, Low Cash, and many more. Get your tickets now at WKIS.com. By the way, Solana, this is none of them. This is the only country song I can find in our thing.
Oh, no, we have plenty of country music, man. Who's this?
This is Luke Bryan. This is called Country Girl. This is none of them. I could not find any of them. I looked the whole break for him. I could not find anything.
Well, we're going to have to work on that, man, because, well, first of all, Chili Cook-Off, that's a fun event, man.
Oh,
have you ever been?
Oh, last year I went because I got man. We got a ticket or two, and, you know, man. Oh, man. It was great. I got to try all the chili. I mean, it's an outdoor fun thing. I mean, even if you're not a huge fan of country music, it's still a blast. I mean, you have all the chili being cooked and stuff like that. You can walk around. It's a fun time.
I'll tell you right now, man. You don't have to be a fan of country music, even though the country music is going to be top notch. But you don't have to be a fan of country music to go to Chili Cook-Off. I'm telling you right now, man. Like, it's a fun time. There's a lot of beer and a lot of girls and some more beer
and girls.
It's a fun time, man. Like, seriously, like, not even joking. It's an awesome event. You should definitely check it out. We should check out some more of these artists too, man. Like Brooks and Dunn, Luke Combs. I've heard
Luke Combs. He's pretty good. He's actually like an up and comer. Low Cash is not bad either. Rodney Atkins. There's some good people on that list.
I'm down to go to Chili Cook-Off. We probably get hooked up here, right?
Oh, I'm sure you know we could maybe find ourselves a ticket or two if we really wanted to.
Nobody cares about sports here, though. Like, nobody really likes WQAM here at the station. We're kind of just like an afterthought.
I mean, if you look in the station where we are in, like, basically, like, Rapunzel's, like, castle, or, you know, we're just kind of cast it off away from everybody.
Right, but Rapunzel's castle, you kind of give it a pretty good image for people because, like, a castle is usually some sort of, you know, beautiful place. Like, what does Hawk always call this? The Hawkeyes, Mark Hochman, he's the host of the Hawk and Crowder show, 2 to 6 p.m. He always calls the 560 WQAM studios the dying space capsule from Apollo 13. And it's like a perfect description, just to give you an idea. Like, it just smells, the mic I'm using, it just smells like old breath and coffee, because
there's a couple crumbs in mine.
Yeah, there's crumbs in like all the mics. Like, it really is like a perfect description for this studio. Kiss has like nice studios. Kiss Country has beautiful studios. Power 96 have a nice board, and nice mics.
Have you noticed that they're right next to each other, and then like you have to walk about like 150, 200 feet away, and then you could finally get to the stairs for us?
Right, and we're just upstairs, stowed away like the ugly stepchild. Nobody cares about us. Nobody comes to check on us. We do have our own bathroom, though.
We do. We do have our own bathroom. It is nice.
Yeah, which is a relief.
And we do have a nice view of 441. They do not get a nice view of 441 like we do from our studios. You can always see what the traffic is when you have to leave.
A nice view of 441. I never thought I'd ever hear that. A nice view of 441. What's nice about 441? Literally nothing.
I mean, it's a nice, it's decently paved road. It could be much worse.
I guess, yeah, we're nitpicking here. Do you want to give your stupid baseball takes already? Do you want to do this? I was trying my hardest to keep you away from talking baseball, because all right, let's get some context here. Before we started the show, Hawk and Crowder again from 2 to 6. We're preparing for our show. Hawk and Crowder always like to come out into the bullpen, talk a little smack, make some jokes, and I'm recording my update. I come out and they're just ripping on you because you came into the studio and you were talking about a big trade in Major League Baseball that happened. I'm a millennial. Not that I don't like baseball. I'm a fan of the Marlins. I like going to watch baseball. I even watch some baseball on TV. I'm not against baseball at all. Don't take this personal, all you hardcore baseball fans out there. But let's be absolutely honest. Nobody gives a bleep about baseball in December. Nobody. Like, you have the winter meetings, and that will kind of generate a little bit of news. But right now, nobody gives a bleep about baseball. And I know Josh Friedman, the host I work for, if he's listening, he was a couple moments ago. If he's still listening, he probably just had a heart attack. I hope he's not in his car, because he is a baseball purist. He believes baseball is God's gift sent from heaven. So now, last segment, I'm going to let Biff do his stupid baseball. That's what I'm going to call it, Biff's stupid baseball update.
Biff's stupid baseball update, sponsored by baseball. All right. So we had a big trade from Los Angeles.
Big, right? Huge.
Blockbuster trade. Colossal. That's what they call them. Cincinnati has now acquired All-Star Matt Kemp, Yasiel Puig, Alex Wilson, and backup catcher Kyle Farmer. That's how he was put in the first article. In exchange for right-hander Homer Bailey, prospect in 2017 first-round pick Jeter Downs. He's a shortstop, by the way. A little bit of a coincidence. I wonder if his name is Jeter for a reason. And then right-hander and second-round pick this year, Josiah Gray.
I'm glad you saved that for the show, man. Like, really, like, you had to get that out. I mean, okay, I get this is a big trade, but who cares? Like, seriously, are you gonna be mad at me for saying that? Who cares? Like, no, it's not even on ESPN.com. Like, you go to ESPN.com, okay?
It was breaking news on there until another article came up, but you know,
it is actually in one of the top headlines. It is.
Oh, that you have to retract your stuff, man.
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
Hey, people in Cincinnati care, because you know what? Their football season's over. They don't have a basketball team. What else are they thinking about right now?
Is it because we're in Miami and we like just baseball is not ever talked about?
You talk about a blockbuster trade. It's usually going the opposite way for us.
It's weird, right? Because the only time we ever talk about baseball in Miami or in South Florida is to talk about how we don't talk about baseball. Like, that's it. That's the only time the Marlins ever brought up, when we're talking about how we don't bring up the Marlins.
I mean, the Marlins are just a sad, like, it's kind of sad talking about them sometimes.
Well,
you
yeah.
Know, you're like, you feel bad because, you know, all, like, most of the time you hear bad things like, oh, this team stinks and stuff like that. It's like, you have to feel bad for the players on the team. I mean, the Marlins, As dumb as it sounds, their farm system is not really that good, but it seems like, I mean, they brought out the two guys who've come through their system have been the last two MVPs in Giancarlo Stanton and Christian Yelich.
Their farm system isn't great because all the guys that they developed in that farm system are no longer on the team because they trade them away because they don't want to pay them. Did you see, by the way, the Samson saga that he flipped off the Miami fans at the Levitard event last Friday?
$1.2 billion,
which is what they sold the franchise for. If you haven't, I'm sure by now everybody, it was...
Oh, it's been picked up by every single thing out there because it's an easy story.
Right. It was a pretty big controversy. If you're not a fan of the Dan Le Batard show or you're not a frequent listener, I could see why you wouldn't understand or you would perceive that as Samson, who is hated in South Florida. Like, let's not forget, he's hated here. Why you thought he was just being a pretentious D-bag. But with proper context, you would understand he was kind of just playing into the stick of the show, and nobody at that event took that personal, or nobody at that event, you know, actually took that as Samson saying bleep you. It was more of just him playing into the role of the character, or the characters, plural, that are built into that radio show. So, I don't know, Matt, if you feel differently, if you were upset about at what Samson did, because
I was not upset at all, honestly, because I listened to those segments with them. I mean, David Samson, even if he really did mean that, I mean, honestly, he wasn't ever put in a good situation with the Marlins anyways. He was put in situations where they were like, oh, you need to cut the costs and stuff like that. I mean, you just look at the stuff, and honestly, he's one of my favorite parts of the Le Batard show. When he comes on, and one of my favorite stories is the Julio the Octopus story about how he was never supposed to win, and he just wins one day, and it caused a calamity for, like, Marlins PR and all that kind of stuff. Just imagine, like, a small little, like, in-between innings race causing so much of a calamity. It's just the funniest thing.
Somebody texted in 560-22, smoke and bad breath, which is what I said about this mic. My stomach just churned with that visceral picture. Barf. Yeah, man. Well, imagine having to talk into it for 4 hours. It's Waiters season, not baseball. Hell yeah. We didn't even talk about Dion Waiters today. We dropped the ball on that because Dion Waiters is making his comeback. He's no longer fat. Excuse me. He's no longer overweight.
No more fat Dion. It's kind of sad. I kind of liked whenever the couple times I went out to practice, stuff like going and being like, oh, there's Dion.
Another texter writes in, Heat will continue the win streak tomorrow night by stifling Greek Freak and the Bucks. Right now, Greek Freak and the Bucks are up 85-71 on the Celtics in Boston. In Boston, the number one offense, number five defense, according to defensive efficiency rating. It's going to be a tough one for Miami tomorrow, man. Like, it's going to be a really tough one. They are kind of lucky they're getting them on a back-to-back. They're at home. The vice streak is over, or the black vice jersey streak is over. So that's definitely a positive for Miami. It is funny how even the front office, the players, you know, they tried to make it seem like it wasn't a big deal that they thought they were on a losing streak because of those jerseys, but they definitely did. Like, superstitions in sports, across sports, are real, and the Miami Heat showed you that with a pretty good example where they're 0-6 wearing these jerseys at home, and they're like, maybe we'll make a switch. We made a whole big deal about these jerseys, but we haven't won a game with them, so maybe we'll make a switch. By the way, why would Anthony Davis want to go play with that stupid LeBron James come play with Deion Waiters and Justice Winslow? I don't get it.
And Jay Rich, come on, man. I mean, like, look at this. Miami, you know, you're not on the West Coast. You don't have to worry about tsunamis or anything like that. You have to worry about a hurricane, which you could plan for days in advance. You know, you go home and see your family. You get nice weather down here. We get occasional cold, but, you know, you get the beach all around you. You're always about an hour away from the beach, almost wherever you are.
Send that clip to AD. I think you, Matt the Biff Wilson, I think you just sold Anthony Davis on coming down here to play with Dion Waiters. We're done, man.
You could hire me.
We're done, right? Like, we're just about finished here on WQAM. Your debut show, Matt. Your debut show. another edition of the producer show, this time with Solana and Matt the Biff Wilson. I'll be on Monday with Matt again, and Rashad Butler will be on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Next week's going to be weird because, like, everybody's out. Everybody's on Christmas. Are you doing anything for Christmas? Are you going anywhere? No, right? You work, like, every day.
Yeah, I work every day. I essentially could put a cot in this, like, studio. Nobody would ever notice because, you know, nobody will be back till next year anyways.
And ironically, you'd be, like, one of the cleanest things in here.
Oh, 100% I'd be the cleanest thing in here. I think somebody had jalapenos earlier in here because I think
what'd
I
you call them?
Jalapeno.
Jalapenos?
Whatever you want to call it.
No, what'd you call it?
I call it a jalapeno. I'm a white guy. I'm sorry.
I'm going to teach Matt how to say jalapenos. That's it for us here on the producer show. Solana and Biff, hope everybody, if you don't hear from us again or if we don't talk to you again, hope you have an awesome, I'm going to say it. I'm Jewish, but I'm going to say it. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I'm Jewish, but I'll say it anyways. Merry Christmas. Hope everybody has an awesome New Year as well. And we'll talk to you next time.
Happy holidays.